This is episode 25, Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, featuring independent sustainability artist Susan Albert.
You're tuning in to Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, where women share inspiring stories about their careers in green business, sustainability, and conservation. Here's your host and founder of Trashy Beauty, Barbara Lee.
Hey, Eco Warriors, we're just a couple days away from our screening of Wasted, the story of food waste, and we are almost sold out on tickets. I believe as of right now, there are 16 left. Thank you to everyone who's already purchased their tickets. If you want to grab one of the last few spots, I definitely recommend doing it soon. If you love food and want to talk to some cool food innovators while chowing down on some delicious stuff, definitely buy your tickets now. It's happening on April 10th at the Kickstarter headquarters, 6:30 p.m. in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. So I actually recorded this particular episode with Susan Albert a few months back, and I was editing it and really once again floored by the power of her words. Susan grew up around her grandmother who came from a ration-era UK, and she used the phrase, make, do, and mend. I think this captures so well the way that we should be facing and dealing with things like food waste and also with fashion, and fast fashion in particular. I think there's really some great lessons in Susan's story, so I hope you enjoy hearing about this one artist's journey towards sustainability. Let's get trash talking.
Welcome, Sue.
Thanks, Barbara. Thanks for having me.
If you can kind of just describe a little bit about yourself and how you kind of got started with your eco-conscious art.
So I was born and educated in the UK and have lived here in the States for 22 years now, and had a long career in the fashion industry, specifically fashion and textile industry. After having my children, decided that I wanted to focus on my own work, and one of my personal concerns is sustainability. And so that's where I started. When I started looking at my own work and my art and my design again after all that time, my hook was sustainability, because it's something I've always been concerned with, but as I've got older and as I have children, I become even more, you know, concerned with it.
Can you delve a little bit deeper and kind of explain where you got your interest in sustainability to begin with? Like, really, what sparked that passion for the environment and the planet?
So I think a couple of things. One thing, I feel that when I moved to the States, I was quite surprised the consumerism I found here. And I think that the rest of the world has caught up now, and it's not anything particular to here. But I do remember when I first moved here, I was kind of amazed at how disposable things were. You know, there's a lot of disposable plastic, and the fashion industry in general felt very disposable. And this is the land of plenty, I guess. And you know, it felt very different from my experiences of living in the UK and in Italy. So I guess that's something I started to think about. I don't know, I guess also I kind of, when I came to sit down and think about what my work was going to be like, I did look back on my time in manufacturing, and I guess part of it is trying to right or wrong as well, because, you know, until recently, and even now, I think the fashion industry is one of the biggest polluters probably in certain countries. And so, yeah, that's where it all kicked off, I think.
Wow, that's so cool. What was kind of your first inclination to realizing how destructive and maybe like overconsumptive like the fashion industry is?
Well, I mean, you just look around. I mean, the fashion is disposable, right? It's a quick turnaround. It's, you know, every season a new line and something else coming out that people want, and then the next season they don't want it. It is, by its very nature, it's designed to be disposable. And, you know, as a designer, you're trying to come up with something to encourage someone to buy something new next season. When they already have a T-shirt, what T-shirt can you design that they'll want that T-shirt next season, even though they've got a perfectly good T-shirt from the previous season? And I think, you know, as a society, we have to kind of look at that attitude to things. I mean, I think as a child, I lived with my grandmother for a while, and she came from nothing, basically, on rations and, you know, making do and mend, right? That was the kind of the phrase that people used in those days. And I guess I learned a lot from her, that there's a joy in using your resources to the utmost of your ability and respecting your resources. I think it's something you find, like also in Japan, there's a word in Japanese, motenai, which is about waste and basically respecting your resources and not being wasteful of them. And I think that's something that we've kind of lost in our lives these days, because everything is so cheap and so readily available, we've forgotten to respect what we have, you know, and use it wisely. I mean, that doesn't just go for the fashion industry. It goes for food. It goes for single-use plastics, all sorts of things. I think, you know, we need to pause, you know, and look at what we're doing.
So tell us how this kind of plays into your artwork and what you do.
So I guess with my artwork, and I have to say that my artwork kind of sits somewhere between art and design. And what I'm interested in is kind of understanding what design and art can do to kind of nudge people into thinking in different ways. I feel like historically the discussion on ecological issues and sustainability and this, that, and the other, they become very kind of preachy. You listen and you know that we're in trouble, but you don't quite know what. I think the general public don't quite know what to do, how to make it better, mm-hmm. you know. It just becomes like this kind of background noise and everyone switches off. What I've tried to do with my art is to kind of introduce it into circumstances when you're not looking, I guess. For example, one of the pieces I made was a tablecloth. Thing is disposable. And the tablecloth is basically laid with brie that we create through eating, so packaging, plastic packaging in particular. You know, if you look at the tablecloth, it's attractive, it's colorful, it's bright. You look at it, you want to go and see what it is. And then when you come up close, you realize, oh, that's a plastic bottle, or that's a Coke can, or it's debris, basically. And then sprinkled around these objects are quick response codes, QR codes. And when you scan those, they take you to a web page that talks about plastics and the ecosystem and plastics in our oceans and the harm they're doing, or colony collapse disorder in bees. And so you can kind of have a conversation around the dinner table, and they'll talk about, you know, what you can do to stop using this plastic, basically. Well, you know, I'm not really trying to tell anyone what to do. I'm just trying to tell them, when you do this, fish eats it eventually, and then you'll eat it, you know? So I guess that's what I'm trying to do.
Literally a conversation starter.
Yes, exactly, exactly. You know, hopefully it draws you in, because it's a tablecloth. Like, you know, you're not looking for that to tell you anything, you know? So you're sitting down having a dinner, and there you go. You start talking about things you would never normally talk about.
That's pretty interesting. What kind of inspires you to do the work that you do? Like, where do you get your ideas from, and how do you pull these ideas together of getting people to rethink the way that they're thinking about consumption?
Again, I definitely come from a textile background. So originally, the tablecloth, nothing is disposable, began as a series of mono prints and etchings on paper, and then, you know, kind of migrated onto fabric, because that's who I am. I always end up, the designer in me tries to think about how I can get this into the environment in some way. That's where the inspiration comes from. Again, just nudging people to have a think about it, because I'm not sure that most people understand how easy it is to make little changes in your life that really don't affect you. But if we all did it, they would have huge impacts on the environment.
For sure, absolutely. What do you think is the biggest environmental issue you hope will change in your lifetime?
Plastic. I hope that plastic becomes extinct. I hope that the objects I use now, you know, in my work, the kind of found objects and the debris, especially the ones made of plastic, are fossils. They just don't exist anymore. That would be my hope, because the use of plastic, the single-use, you know, disposable plastic, it's out of control, and it's clogging, you know, our oceans and causing massive damage. And I just hope that gets changed really quickly, sooner rather than later, quite frankly. You know, I think we have to move on these things really quickly.
I hear you. Do you have a particular moment in your career, like a challenge that you can share with us that you faced in building your career as an artist?
I don't know. I mean, I like a challenge. I guess when I moved to Italy without speaking Italian, that would have been a difficulty, I guess. But
Well, how did you come to make this? So this is kind of like your livelihood. This is what you do as your job. So how did you kind of make this a full-time thing?
After my second child, I decided I couldn't go back into the fashion industry as it was then. You know, it's a very full-on, takes up a lot of your time. It's, you know, there's a lot of long hours involved. And it's not always easy to balance that with your family. So I started this line. I do still do freelance projects for people. It's still early days here. As you know, startups are hard. There's a lot of work involved in them, but I'm getting there.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Do you have an inspirational moment that you had in nature?
I think every time I travel anywhere in the world, I'm inspired by the people, by, you know, I love traveling. I really love traveling. And so, yeah, that just always inspires me. Going to different cultures, experiencing the people and the food and the nature, that's always inspiring.
Yeah. And do you have a favorite place in the world?
No, I mean, I have a list of places I still haven't got to go to. I do. I love Japan is one of my favorite places, I think, because I'm fascinated by the culture because it's very different from the culture I grew up in. And like I said, I think there's a respect for the environment there that I'm very drawn to. And I love Japanese textiles. But no, every time I go, like recently we had a trip to Colombia and that was my favorite place. And then we went to Vietnam. And so wherever I've just visited is my favorite place.
That's amazing. Did you have like a particularly difficult moment when you kind of realized kind of the issues that we're facing globally as far as in the environment and sustainability?
I think I have that every day. I get up and go out. I think particularly now, it's so frustrating that there are climate deniers in this country still and, you know, people in very important positions of power that continue to deny the fact that we have an issue. That's very hard to come to terms with. You know, when the rest of the world is ready to move on, stop trying to tackle this in some way, it's really hard to know that we as a country that should be leading in this, turning our back on the whole discussion. I find that very difficult. These are hard times that we're living in, and we have to be positive. It's really hard when the discussion has completely disappeared from the table.
Yeah. How do you stay inspired? Like, what keeps you motivated and driving towards making change?
So I'm constantly meeting people from all walks of life who inspire me. So, you know, who make me realize that there's plenty to be hopeful about, and all is not lost. And you know, my kids as well, I think they inspire me every day.
Do you have any role models or any particular people who your inspiration to following sustainability? Or
so I think Al Gore obviously is doing a lot in the green movement, and he's inspiring. I think there is a lady called Vandana Shiva, she's a philosopher and an environmentalist. She works a lot in the area of biodiversity and food and the kind of indigenous knowledge of people to produce their own food. And I think she is particularly inspiring to me right now. She's looking at the ways we used to produce food are way more sensible than some of the ways we're producing food now. So that she's really interesting to me right now. I think there are companies. I recently went to see a talk by a guy called Sanjeev Bal, and he has a company called Satex, which is in Vietnam. They're a big denim producers, and denim is traditionally causes a lot of environmental, you know, waste. His company is incredible. He believes that denim can be sustainable, and he's proved it. His factory reuses all its own water. It doesn't pollute, and it also gives back to the community where he set it up. And so he's very concerned with doing good to both people and the planet. So he was very inspiring. These are all people that I've just come across recently. I don't think I focus on one role model. I meet people on the way and think, wow, that's amazing and inspiring.
That's so great.
Yeah, I think, you know, I talked about my grandmother. She was definitely a big influence on me. You know, we were very close. I got to live with her for a few years, and I think, you know, she's a very determined, strong, generous woman. She managed to do so much with so little, and she's definitely, you know, a big influence on me.
And do you have any books or movies or podcasts you kind of read to educate yourself and stay informed about what's going on?
I'm not specifically relating to sustainability particularly. I mean, I keep my ears and open for everything. I'm very conscious these days. I don't want to be in that echo chamber that everyone's talking about. So I try to get out and listen to lots of different things and read lots of, you know, different viewpoints. I love Radiolab. I find Radiolab endlessly inspiring. I think it's, you know, the format is amazing, but also I love every show I've ever heard. I love that podcast. That's probably my all-time favorite.
Do you have a recommendation of where's a good place to start to get some knowledge about the issues that we're facing?
So I would go online. I mean, I would go online and just click around a bit. Right now I'm reading a book called The Philosophy of Waste, which is really interesting. But I'm only halfway through it, so I don't know if I can totally comment on, you know, on talks about the anthropology of waste, I guess, the wasted objects and why we consider things valuable or not. So that's kind of interesting to me as an artist, just looking into why we consider certain purchases like disposable and other things very precious. I think that's quite interesting and something we could...
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's a cool book.
Nice. And do you have any brands or companies or other people that you kind of like to affiliate yourself with or who you think are making a good difference and working towards the right direction? I know you mentioned like that Satex company that does the denim,
yeah.
But do you have any other ones that we should kind of be on the lookout for and follow the stories of?
Having just completely dissed the fashion industry, I think that things are changing. There's hope for us. I think a lot of things are changing in that industry now. And I got to hear a guy called Simone Cipriani speak. He's from the United Nations. And he set up an initiative called the Ethical Fashion Initiative. And he basically connects designers such as, I know he works with Vivienne Westwood and Stella McCartney, and he connects them with artisans all over the world. So, you know, weavers who make this amazing fabric, he'll connect them with a high-end designer. So they make the fabric for a collection, a catwalk collection show. And so he's very inspiring. He's full of energy and totally inspiring. That was a game changer for me. I just thought, yes, this is what we need to do. Because that way you put back the specialness into something because it's handmade. It becomes unique, and it's also doing good at the same time. It's bringing, you know, much-needed resources to communities that need it. So then I guess I give a heads-up to Stella McCartney and Vivienne Westwood. Stella McCartney's been doing a lot of things with, you know, responsible sourcing, recycling materials, vegetarian leather, that kind of thing. So she's been doing a lot of interesting work there. And then here in the States, Eileen Fisher, she's been doing some very interesting things with reusing and upcycling some of her old pieces. She has customers bring in their old pieces and they're sorted and either put back on sale as kind of vintage pieces or they're made into something completely different, either a kind of artwork or a new garment, all sorts of things. So that's really interesting. That program's called Renew, I think.
I'm just listening to a podcast by her.
Oh, really? Yeah, she's one of the front runners in this kind of movement, I think. And she's very inspiring, very inspiring.
Yeah, she was just on How I Built This.
Ah, okay.
Space, I know I hear a lot about companies like Patagonia and stuff, but I've never really known anything about her brand or her, and so it was really interesting to hear her take.
Yeah, she's a clever lady, and you know that I think she's one of the first to think about sustainability, not just from a manufacturing point of view, and knowing, you know, who's making your garments and you know what kind of conditions they're working in and everything, but also what happens to the garment after it's left you. You know, I don't think your responsibility necessarily ends there. You know, it's interesting that she's bringing things back and remaking them, if you like.
For sure. And so what are your three tips for someone who wants a little more eco-conscious lifestyle?
So I'm going to go back to my plastic again. And it's just really simple. I think you think about when you take something. So when you take a plastic spoon or a plastic fork, or when you take a plastic bag, you know, when you're shopping, take your own plastic bag. My big pet peeve right now is those, you know, those plastic bags that they give you for your umbrella when it's raining.
Oh my gosh.
When you go into a store. I just do not understand. I cannot get my head around how ridiculous that is. So things like this, just thinking about, you know, thinking about when you take it, and if you, especially if you just use it once and then throw it away, I think, you know, don't take it. Don't take the straw. Don't take the plastic cup. Just leave it behind. I would encourage everyone to go and see Plastic Seas. It's on YouTube. So it's like a really short documentary, and it'll show you where your plastic ends up going, and it's upsetting. It might be upsetting enough to make you stop and not take the plastic straw.
Let's see.
I would also say shop consciously, knowing who made what you're buying, where it was made, how it was made. So I would start asking questions when, as a consumer, about, you know, what you're buying and where it's coming from. The third thing, I mean, I think try and buy locally, especially food. If you can buy food that's as local as possible, it's not always possible, I know, but, you know, just try to buy things that come from as near as possible to you. Try not to eat meat too often, if you can help it. And that's really it, you know. I think people think that you have to go from one extreme, and I just think that lots of little things every day, little choices that you make, will make a big difference if we all do it.
For sure, I hear you. I think it's hard because I don't think people relate their specific behavior in the moment to the bigger picture. And I don't think people necessarily want to.
No, I think no more is that more obvious than with hurricanes. Like, we've had so many big storms recently, and it's all linked to the way we behave, you know, the way we consume, the way we throw stuff away. You can make direct connections between these storms and how we're living our lives. But it's hard to show people that, you know. It's very hard to illustrate that in a way that people can relate to, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess the last thing I wanted to ask you about is, have you done anything crazy in the name of nature sustainability?
Do you know, honestly, Barbara, I've been racking my head all day and I can't think of anything. I can't think of a story for this one at all, I'm afraid. No, I can't think.
Well, I wondered, like, I think it's one of those things where, like, we don't think it's very extreme, but if someone else saw it, it'd be like, they would think it's extreme. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I think my kids think I'm extreme every day. I mean, I basically, a lot of my artwork is derived from found objects, basically picking garbage up off the street. So I guess there's my answer, because my kids, they're like, oh, Mom, please don't do that. People are looking as I put things in my bag. But, you know, if... So there you go. There's my answer. I collect garbage. I think that's probably pretty extreme.
There we go. We just had to figure out what your kids thought was crazy.
Yeah, so it was a good place to start.
Awesome. Anything else that you wanted to kind of share about your artwork? Where can our audience find you if they want to check out your artwork and kind of follow what you're doing?
My website is www.SusanAlbert.com. That's probably the best place. And you can follow me on Instagram at Susan Albert as well.
Fantastic. And we'll definitely link that up in the show notes so people can find you. Thank you so much, Susan, for your time. It's been lovely.
Thank you so much, Barbara. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
I love how Susan made this shift in her life and her philosophy around not being preachy about the way she talks to others about sustainability and waste. I think we all have our moments, I know I'm totally guilty of it, but catching people off guard and sharing a message through art is a completely innovative way to get people to think differently. Actually, I received a message from a listener recently who said that she's a part-time artist and she struggles with finding more sustainable ways of creating art. She works in oils and stretch canvases. I didn't have many particular resources to share to her, but I wanted to put it out to you all. If you have any suggestions of what someone can do, or brands or specific companies that are looking to create less impactful art supplies, definitely write in and let me know so I can share it with our listener. I'm Barbara at trashybeauty.com. I'll also link it in the show notes. If you are coming to the screening on Tuesday, April 10th at 6:30 p.m. at the Kickstarter headquarters in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, we are very much looking forward to meeting you. A huge thank you to Meredith from Talk Trash City for co-hosting the event with me, as well as all of our food vendor partners who will be joining us. Uncle Lee, Rescuing Leftover Cuisine, Food for All, Nomad Trading Company, Bear Burger, Tea Pigs, Eleva Coffee, Proud Pour, Toast Ale, Commit to Green, The Fillery, Rise Products, Arrow Farms, and Local Roots. Also, we're going to be featuring some photography by Jody Taylor and a special guest appearance by Jonathan Classberry. He's one of the producers from 0.0 who helped make the Wasted documentary reality. You don't want to miss this. There's just a few seats left, so get yours while you can. And don't forget, if you are coming to the event, please bring your own cups and utensils so that we can make this a truly zero-waste event. Tune in again next week, Eco Warriors. Stay green.
Thanks for talking dirty with us. Tune in next week for more Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. For more inspiration, follow us on Instagram at TrashyBeautyCo.